This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good afternoon, Melbourne. It's Joy 94.9 and you're on our Escape Hour, aren't you?
On our Escape Hour.
My name's Russ Masterton. Welcome to Escape Hour. This is Joy 94.9's travel and food show, and it is a pleasure to be here today.
It sure is.
One of our offsiders, Tad, is feeling a little unwell today, and we wish him all the best. And
yes, get better, Tad.
Give him a bit of a shout-out from across the panel.
Yep, drink lots of water and rest up.
And my co-host today is, of course, the lovely Fiona Brooke. You couldn't be any more lovelier. What are you wearing today, Fiona?
I'm in beautiful Melbourne black.
Yeah, you're
today.
Looking gorgeous. You are. I'm loving
Thank
your work.
Thank you so much.
It's How's always, your week been?
Well, I just love it here because I get all the compliments.
Yeah, that's right. This is the show to be on.
That's exactly right. That's why I'm here. My week has been really busy.
Yes?
Really busy, but very productive and just, you know, that never stops. The hospitality industry in Melbourne just never stops. So it's been pretty great. How about yours, Russ?
I saw a show at the Northcote Town Hall on Thursday night called Merciless,
Merciless Gods.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The restaurant then.
I should have. That's right. Merciless Gods is
sold
amazing.
Out, which is why we couldn't get to I couldn't get tickets because people like you bought all the tickets.
We did. We went very last minute. We sort of decided on Tuesday that we should go and see this show. But it has to be one of the best GLBTI shows I've seen in donkey's years. Yeah, it was really, really good.
Yes, Christos Slorkas's new work. Oh, not new work, but it's one of his books that Little Ones Theatre has brought to life.
Yeah.
And it was so successful. I really hope that they remount the show. It's had a lot of fantastic reviews. And, of course, Christos is such a, you know, he's a Melbourne boy through and through and much loved in this town. So I'm really happy to see that it went so well.
We couldn't believe it. Although there was a moment, it was very cold on Thursday night.
It was.
And the city of Northcote Town Hall opened up and we all took this big breath as the chill went through us. Thank God some of the theatre matter was very hot to keep us going, but it was a good show, so highly recommend it to everybody.
Well, we should probably use that as a little introduction.
I think we should, because we've got somebody else who's
hot. Yeah, the Northcote Town Hall is right up the road from a fabulous little restaurant called Camus, which launched earlier this year, and the founder and chef Pierre Codger is our guest today. Hello, Pierre.
Hi, Fiona.
Lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
It is true that a Pierre's restaurant would be an excellent stopover if you were doing anything in the Northcote Town Hall area. Pierre, your restaurant, Camus, was named after the famous French existentialist and philosopher Albert Camus.
That's right.
Why did you decide to call it that?
Well, we have a little comment there because he was half Algerian, half French, and I was a very similar situation because I was born in Algeria and I moved to Marseille when I was little. He was born in a town which was very close to my town. He played soccer, I played soccer. He was poor, I was poor. So we had a little think, you know, and then we come up with the name. And it's been sort of that name or nothing. We had a few things, and I'm sure you remember we come to you with different names.
That's right.
In the beginning. And it suits the restaurant, and it's been great. It's wonderful. We're very happy with it.
And there are actual quotes from Camus around the room.
That's right.
So you don't have to read an Albert Camus book to enjoy the venue. So today, Pierre is going to tell us all about his country of birth, Algeria, and even touch on Marseille, because Marseille is only 24 hours by boat Algiers, the capital. So, you know, Algeria it seems like such a mysterious country.
Indeed.
Well, it's not well known by Australians at all. That's so, right. Yeah, it's very rare for any customers to come into our travel agency and ask to go to Algiers. Right.
Usually it's business. Usually it's a place called Hazim Saud where all the, you know, the petrol and the gas and, you know, all that stuff. And this is, you know, corporate, very big, high-end, who goes there to the... But it's amazing. It's very... it hasn't been discovered yet. Amazing coast, wonderful food, excellent culture, very wonderful people, very kind, you know. And that runs through all the... You know, the North African, it just, you know, they'll welcome you home anytime, you know.
Where in, geography-wise, where in the world are we at
the moment?
We are
in North Africa, between Tunisia and Morocco.
Ah, right.
And the French were there for 130 years, and the Turk before that. And that's why the cuisine, where you see today, it's, you know, and as I was talking to Fiona earlier, and it's, you know, it's all passed through mother to daughter.
Yes.
Recipes. Men in Algeria don't cook. Now a little bit, you know, but usually they don't cook. It's all it's a lady's job.
Right.
You know, she's, you know, literally they spend, they go to the husband goes to the market, brings the ingredients, and she spends all day cooking it, literally all day.
And so that comes back to the what I was reading about cuisine in Algeria, which is a combination of Berber, that's Turkish, right.
That's
French.
Right. That's right.
Over
it. Yeah, it's all, you know, it's most of it is, you know, come from, if you look in, say, Morocco and Tunisia, if you really want to eat well, you eat at home, not in a hotel or in the restaurant. It's really the dishes, it's the produce to make them, eat them.
Yes.
You know, there's a national dish called couscous, which is Tunisia, Morocco, and Algeria. So couscous basically is eaten in all different occasions. If you have a child to be circumcised, you make couscous.
Right.
If someone's getting married, you make couscous. If someone passed away, you do couscous. So, but it's done, it's not the couscous you buy in the packets here. It's completely different, you see. It takes 40 days to dry up.
Oh, really?
They are, yes,
wow.
They cook it. They used to call the locals, and they get together, and then they dry it in the sun, and then they use it.
I think that couscous is so misunderstood. I think we're going to have to go to a break, and then we can talk a little bit more about all things couscous and Algeria.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the featured providers section within the iTunes store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
This is Escape Hour, and we're doing all things Algiers today, or Algeria. That song was by a wonderful singer called Cheb Khalid.
Cheb Khalid, yes.
Yes, that's
he's
right.
He's very well known, very respected, and he lives in France.
And that's rhyme music.
That's right. There is two things in Algeria. There's rhyme music and there is shabby music. Shab means public, you know, and they come from, you know, like a street, started with a street music. They both did, but one, it's very sort of classical and they play in weddings and things, and this one here now is more in France, in Algeria, and... It's funny because they can express themselves. He was thinking about his girlfriend. He was singing about his girlfriend and expressing, you know, saying that, you know, he's sad to not see her and talk about money, you know. The only way they can say that because, you know, he was a big trouble in Algeria where a few of singers got killed because of the freedom.
Right.
And now it's different because, you know, it's, the whole thing has changed.
Yes.
You know, now you can sing, you can say what you want. And I think it's about 10 years ago now, Algeria was in a very dark situation. You know, a few people, I think nearly, you know, 16,000 people died, you know, civilians.
Right.
Because there was a fight between the government. And thank God now, you know, they realized, you know, they're seeing the light under the tunnel.
Yes.
And everybody's happy and they're creating... You know,
well, we were saying during the song how wonderful the music is, and you can really move
exactly,
and dance to
yeah,
it.
Sure,
it's fantastic, isn't
and,
it?
You know, it should be room for music for everyone. It depends what you want to listen to. You know, there is something called a kasbah, which is the flute. Flute, and they make a what they call derbuka, very small, made of lamb skin, and they play very old fashioned in the desert and all the those places. That's the way they play their own music. And but now that's they play these things in weddings. And I've got, it's funny you play that, because I've got the same CD in my car.
Well, I was playing that on my way in, so we were probably boogieing away to the same music, you know. I had mine turned up quite loud. I was interested to see what people walking past in the city were thinking, and I'd certainly got a few looks.
it sounds a bit Middle Eastern, you know.
It does sound a bit, you know, I like to be a bit bit out there with my music choices, and we're perfect choices. Fiona, you and our friend were talking about couscous, getting back to...
Well, we were. I mean, I think that there's so many things that we could talk about with Algeria. Where do we start? Well, Pierre did start explaining to me at one stage the how to actually cook couscous, because obviously the way we cook couscous here is we buy a pack of couscous from the supermarket, we stick it in a bowl, we pour hot water over it, or some people might even try boiling it, which, like rice, which of course doesn't happen because it's not a grain. It's
semolina.
It's semolina pasta. And I know I bought the other day, had some couscous in a box that my housemate had bought, and I thought, I'll use that, I'll steal his food. And I poured hot water over it, and it was a phenomenal, inedible disaster. So, Pierre, can you give us some, like, obviously don't buy couscous in a box.
Well, look, it's if you're working and you're busy, and you got no time, it's fine. But I think if you want a real thing, it's, number one, you have to have a what we call a couscousier, which is a pot that big, and then you have a steamer on top of it. It's like a colander with a small hole.
So it's like a large pasta pot.
Yes, very similar, yes. Yeah. And then what you do, it's you cook your meat or vegetable, if you're vegetarian, very gently, and then you get the couscous and you wash it, and then you get some ghee, olive oil, and bare water, in your hand, and you just fluff it a little bit. You put it in a steamer first time, and the flavor from whatever you're cooking, meat or vegetable, goes through the couscous.
Lovely.
Mm. And they fluff it up. It's like a snow. They fluff it up. You put your hand on it, it gets like sort of bumpy a little bit, you know what I mean?
It's yes.
Then you take it off. Then you do the same thing again with water and ghee and olive oil. Nicely, you rest it, you put a tea towel on it, and then you put it back into the pot. So by that time, your vegetable will be ready, or meat. Then you take it out, then more ghee nicely, and it's beautifully, you know, so fluffy and loose. You put it in your bowl. Then if you're doing meat, you serve the meat separate, chickpeas separate, and then your vegetable separate. And it's, couscous is a national dish, not only for Algeria, from Morocco and Tunisia.
Yes.
And maybe Libya as well. But we use it in all occasions. As I said earlier, sometimes we have, the boy's circumcised, age very small, and you invite all your family. If somebody newborn, you invite your family. It's a big thing in Algeria. And it's a lot of respect when you have a guest, they have to have the big piece of meat, and you respect them for that. Mm. And they usually eat all in one plate. It's a big bowl and you're around it. It's all about sharing.
Mm. Yeah, and that's very important in Algeria. The family Yenish is very important.
You go to France, you go to France, you go to America, you go to Australia, you still bond with your people.
Yes.
Yeah, so
you still bond, and you send, you help, the poor, you have, it's very important.
Well, Fiona and I are both vegetarians, so I'm going to go home today, and my mouth was watering then.
Absolutely.
I think I'm going to get into it, yes.
Well, I know that you can buy, there's excellent sources of couscous in the markets.
Yeah, there is.
I know at the South Melbourne market, there's a source of couscous, and they actually sell some of the big, fat couscous.
Yeah, it's two couscous. They call Moghrabi, and I call Azraeli couscous. It's two things. The Israeli is roasted in the oven. So you have to really wet it to absorb the flavor. And the other one is dry by the sun. And of course, it's now they make it in factories. And I advise the people, anyone who buys packet couscous, you have to wash it.
Okay.
Because it's like everything else, it's been done. I find a lot of things because they're in a factory, you have to wash it. And everything is not right, it comes to the surface, you pour it away, then you use your leftover of the couscous.
Now, mint tea is also big.
Love it.
Yeah?
Love it. The idea of mint tea is to, in the end of the day, is to sort of settle your stomach. So you put mint tea, a lot of sugar, some people do. I don't like very sweet things.
You've got to think of your figure.
100%. So you put a lot of mint, a lot of sugar, and we use what they call gunpowder tea. It's very, very funny. It's Chinese.
Ah.
Yeah, you put a couple of spoons of that, you bring it to the boil, let it rest. First, you have to wash the tea, throw it away, put it back again, then you put your water, put your mint, sugar, let it rest for a little while, and then serve it. And you have to serve it at this level, high this level.
I know, it looks so beautiful when they do it in restaurants and they pour it out from very high.
That's right.
Why do you have to serve it like that?
That's one is a tradition, and number two, you have to get that mousse. It's like, you know, and you it's like a soapy. When you, if you pour it straight, it's just like water.
Oh.
So you pick it up straight, you get all that. And you have to hit the glass as well.
Because,
yes, because it will reduce the temperature of the tea from the pot.
Wow.
And to get that sort of full, you know, aroma.
Health-wise, is it good for you?
Amazing.
Right.
Without sugar, though.
Yes, I'm struggling to take sugar out of my diet. I keep thinking every day I get up and
I lost 14 kilos.
Did you really?
That's the secret.
Wow.
You know, I spoke to George, you know, George Kalambaras once, and he said to me, he said, you know, I hugged him and I can feel the bone. I said, what's wrong, George? And he goes, you know, how was the secret? And he goes, I just stopped sugar in my coffee. And I did it. It worked. I have no sugar, no pastry. They gave me the test in the kitchen. I just go, that's it.
Right.
And I lost 14 kilos. But literally, my wife, she can put her head around me before she
Wow. She'd be happy. She'd be happy now. Yeah, happy wife is a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Happy life, happy life.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
We're here today with Pierre Kodja from Camus, and we are talking all things Algeria. If you have any questions about Algeria, Algiers, or Algerian cuisine, French Algerian cuisine, don't forget you can get in touch with us. SMS 0427 569 949, or phone the front desk 1300 569 949.
We've got the gorgeous Neil waiting out there at the moment.
Gorgeous Neil, yes. Yep. Thank you, Neil. Email onair@joy.org.au. So we would love to hear from you if you have any questions about Algiers and Algeria. Pierre, maybe what we should do is talk a little bit more about travelling in the area. Now, you mentioned off-air that in the last 5 to 10 years, it's really changed. It's become a lot more open.
Yes.
What's that due to?
Due to the young generation living abroad and the government as well. Now, people who lives, you know, who done well for themselves all over the world, they're coming back with different ideas, opening, you know, including France, opening banks, they're trying to get McDonald's in there. So it's more relaxed. That's what I was saying about people can go there and have a holiday. The hotel's unbelievable. There is places that you can travel an hour and a half or an hour from Algiers town, and you think you are in the middle of Mexico.
Well, this is my point, where people often forget where these northern African countries are. They're right on the beautiful Mediterranean coast, and beaches are stunning, aren't
they? That's right. It's unbelievable. That's what the French try to, you know, they stayed there for 130 years.
They've got good taste.
There's a reason why.
They have a good taste. Yeah. They wanted it badly because we've got the snow, you've got the water, you know, the food is amazing, the ingredients is unbelievable. Literally, olive oil's is the best advice in my life. Mm. You know, it's all done in the mountains, the old, you know, fashion way. It's much open than before. And that's why all the French, literally, I have a friend of mine who's a chef in one of the beautiful hotels in the Sheraton, and he said to me, people come on holiday in August and they book next August because it's very peaceful. There is not, you know, yes, of course, we have problems anywhere. You know, we have problems here sometimes. In Australia, London. I lived in London for 26 years. So
I think the message we often try to get on this show is that, and for Australians and most, a lot of people these days, is there's this real phobia about going to Arabic countries.
Sure.
And
Islamic, sure.
Yeah, and they are just people just like you and I.
150%.
Yeah.
You know, you do not believe the hospitality you get from the Algerians. You just travel in any village, they will put you in a house, they feed you, they, you know, you go there with $1,000, you come back with $1,100.
They're like,
and,
wow,
in each area it's different. You know, yeah. One area, the accent changes a little bit, it's very sexy, and you go, you know, you got one area, they're very good at couscous. You got another area, is very good at rishta. You got very good at example where you call like tagine. You know, they make all these things, whole lamb, every, you know, and it's hidden. It's a shame. It's very hidden, you know, destination.
But they say that about the cuisine as well, that there's so many different regional varieties that are not known from one region to another.
That's right.
And that, you know, it's really a place that is yet to be explored and discovered. And, I mean, and this is a fabulous opportunity. I mean, we've had a lot of wonderful people here on the show from talking about Iran, talking about Morocco, and the message is so much similar. Go to these countries and discover such a beautiful environment, and everyone, of course, is incredibly friendly. I think that there's the understanding that there are some local customs to be mindful of.
Sure, certainly.
And, I mean, how do you find things for the LGBTQ community in Algeria?
Well, they're trying, you see, of course, it's Islamic, of course, it's like everywhere else, but, you know, people, not everybody's got a scarf on, which is, they call it a hijab.
So you don't have to wear a hijab if
you don't have to, you know, all the girls in universities and works in banks and places, none of, you know, it's all dependent about yourself and your family and the way you're brought up. Some people do hijab, that's fine, and some people, it doesn't mean you're not Muslim if you don't put the hijab.
Yep.
You know, there's a very well-educated people who works all different, pilots and things, you know. Things have changed, Fiona. Now that it's Algeria is one of the richest country in Africa.
Right.
You've got gas and petrol.
Yeah.
They've got gold. They've got, you know, it's huge.
Mm.
Now, the way they run the country is another matter.
Yeah.
But the country itself, it's very rich in resources.
Right.
Mm. It's unbelievable. And it's, you know, people say it's beautiful to go there as a tourist, you know.
Mm.
And the food is amazing. It's very safe. It's a lot of security everywhere. You know, the gendarmerie everywhere, the army everywhere, the police everywhere. Of course, there's places where you can't go, like here. Yourself, you can't go to, you know, Queensland on your own late in the night or something like that.
Exactly.
Plus,
who'd want to?
Exactly. But there is something where you mentioned earlier, touch earlier, it's about going to the beach again.
Yeah, can you wear a bikini?
Yes, you can. And I mean, I haven't been there for 4 years, but you can wear a bikini, because I did went with friends from London and from France, and where they wear the bikini, not a problem at all. Because the beaches now, they've been, it's a lot of security in there. So they have literally what they call white policemen. They wear white uniform and they're just for the beach. Nothing else outside. If you eat something else, nothing.
Beach just, police.
Yes, they just walk around and watch if there's any problems, if everything's right, family's right. Mm. So, and a lot of immigrants, what they call them, they're coming from all different parts of the world where they're successful, and they want to spend their holidays 4 weeks in August, June, July, August, very hot, up to 51 degrees in Algeria. So you can't tell them don't come to your country.
No.
So they do that, but they still have the mentality of Europeans, so they have to wear the bikini, and you can't stop them either.
Mm.
You know, it's not like Saudi Arabia. It's a big difference.
Mm, well, I read an interesting article actually today about how one of the young shahs or princes in Saudi Arabia is actually trying to bring in the concept that foreigners can wear bikinis, because he understands that more foreigners will come to his country if women can wear bikinis. They're tourists.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, if you wanted to go to Algiers but you didn't want to go in the hot season,
yes,
what are some of the other beautiful times of the year to go there?
Well, it's look, it's very well known for its hot times, which is, you know, June, July, and August for all the tourists. But usually, when I went to Algeria in business during cold months, usually it's people from, you know, corporate, from the industry of gas, oil, you know, going in there. But if you want to go on holiday, of course, there's things to see. You know,
is it beautiful in the springtime?
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful.
Mm. It's because you mentioned how fertile the land is. In fact, Pierre said off air that, you know, if you pee on the street, you come back the next day and a rosemary bush has grown there.
Oh, how lovely.
I know.
It's so fertile, it's unbelievable, right. I promise you.
Well, I read all about the beautiful grapes and olive trees.
Oh, yeah, and the figs.
Yes, and dates and things
dates,
like that.
It's unbelievable. It's so much history there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover. You know, you've got to go there. And I advise everyone who will go back to Algeria for holiday, please do, and you'll never regret it. It's one of the beautiful place on the planet.
What are your favourite places to go outside of Algiers?
As I say, you know, there is another country called, very close to Algiers, Marseille, of course.
Everybody want to go to France.
Everybody, you know, from day one, because you know what they say, you take from me, when I get older, I come and take from you. And that's what they did. Well, everybody's young, they had their time, then we got older, we went back to that country and started to take, of course, that's normal. And then, you know, we went to Marseille, and after that went to Paris, and that's where I started my career as a chef. And it's, you know, even today, Marseille still Algeria, really. I mean, if you look at the road, the stone, square stones in there, they've been built by the Algerians.
Right.
All the Algerians went to Marseille, they were working in Peugeot, in Renault, all, you know, spray paint, all the hard jobs done by them. All the Algerians. Road we see today. It's like, you know, second, you know, but slowly, slowly, the new generation now is different. Air France has got about 15 pilots, the Algerians. The big is about seven. Brain surgeons, the Algerians, you know, so things have changed, you know, the young people, and that shows you, if you give the opportunity of somebody who's from somewhere that's not quite poor, they can do very, very well.
Absolutely.
Do you
and,
know what I mean?
And so do Algerians, can they travel to France very, easily?
Sure. Yep. And they just signed another, the French and the Algerians government, they just signed a treaty where they're very, you know, there's no visa, it's just gone through, no problem, you know, because there's a lot of work. And they're investing in Algeria, they know, you know, it's a sister, they're very close, literally, you can, you know, as Fiona said earlier, 24 hours, you go to midnight, next day, you're there.
And historically, you've got all of these wonderful, you know, parts of the Ottoman Empire and your Roman ruins, and these Roman ruins look absolutely stunning.
Amazing. Yeah. As I say, it was built by a few Turks, you know, the Turks left and then the French walked in, you know. So they've been through a lot, you know, and especially the last 10 years where they had this Islamic something happened there. It was very, very horrible. And, you know, when you're fighting an enemy is one thing, but when you're fighting your own enemy from, like, you know, your people.
Within,
that is more sad, but hopefully that's gone and everybody is looking forward to the sunshine, and it's happening. A lot of businesses come back, a lot of people are investing, you know. They asked me to do a school there, the Minister of Tourism, you know, they asked me to open a school there for the youngsters.
And what type of school would that be?
Cooking.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, cooking,
okay,
school.
Yes, yeah.
Cooking school, they asked me. I had a meeting in with a few people, and that's on the card maybe in the past, but at the moment I'm living in Australia, I'm concentrating on my beautiful little restaurant Camus.
What's your favourite dish?
I love fish. I mean, look, if you ask me about really done it, it's my couscous, of course I love it. We eat it about, you know, twice a week in my home. It's something, it's like being to Flower Drum. You have a lovely Chinese dinner or lunch, an hour later you're hungry again, because it's very, does it repeat on you? You know, it's a lot of culture. I don't know if you know, in the tents, people lie down like this on the floor and they put their hand like this. That's done for to digest the food. This is from million years, from Ottoman, like you said, from
the... Oh, is it that how the Roman generals would lie?
That's
and the
right.
emperors?
That's right, 100%.
Wow, okay, it's for digestion.
Everything is done for a reason.
I just thought it was decadent.
I just thought they were lazy.
And the other thing I was telling Fiona earlier, you know, all the spices in Algeria, we're talking about, this is from 300 years ago. Cinnamon, cardamom, taranis, you name it. They used to, people come from Andalusia, from Iran, and they bring things and they grow them. One tree and it grows. And to try it, to put it in food, to know it's working, they have to pass it to an animal. He eats it. If that animal dies, they don't use it.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right? If it doesn't die, then they use it. And that's how it become very well known for ethics. You name any ingredient. That's exactly how we can.
Well, I think most people here would think of Algeria and Northern Africa. And it is true, as a matter of fact, that 80% of Algeria is part of the Sahara Desert.
Yes.
But you've also got this romantic Mediterranean coastline.
Amazing.
And then you've got these beautiful mountains as well.
That's right. It's amazing. I mean, Sophia Lawrence was there, you know, all this, you know, it's
Fiona's our version of Sophia.
Yes, I take Fiona there on me. I'm doing a journey there, hopefully one day, and I take her with me.
I'll be happy to come along and pretend I'm Sophia Loren.
Absolutely,
it's
go girl.
It's wonderful part, you know, part of the world, and you know, I advise anyone who wants a wonderful holiday. Of course, you know, it's the security. It's amazing. Each hotel have their own security plus the government security. I've been there many times. I had never been stopped with anybody. Late, I go and see some, you know, some rye, some music, no problem, never ever been stopped. And it's wonderful. The food is amazing. The people are so, so kind. You not believe.
See, and this man is not, does not work for the Ministry of Tourism in Algiers. He just knows it's a great place to go to, right?
I don't. Actually, I don't. I'm just a chef.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hello, everyone. If you are not wishing and desiring and booking your tickets to Algiers right now, I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm doing in the ad break.
Are you? I wish we were there now.
I wish we were there
lying
right now.
Lying on the Mediterranean.
It's 49 degrees.
Oh, 49. Oh, that could be a little bit toasty for a lot of us.
But settle
just rehydrate. Lots of water in
there. That's right.
Kind of
water, that's right.
And look, I think Pierre has done such an amazing job in selling Algiers. I definitely want to go. I will get there on my travels. I mean, we just need to cover what we do cover most weeks on our program, is that homosexuality is illegal in that country. But within reason, you're not going to be persecuted. They're very friendly people, and they want you there.
They are, and you know, they try to, there is. You know, that subject is quite tough in that part of the world, including all the Arab world. It's all done hush hush, and if you have a wonderful parents who understand you, they will, you know, try to understand you. But you're finding it difficult outside of your house,
outside of the main,
with other people. Yes. So you know, it is very. You got to be very, very careful there. Mm. Now, if you go with a girlfriend, you know what you do. You know, in the private places, it's fine, but in the public, it's not like over here. You hold hands and things. Because it can be quiet.
Well, I did read an article this morning about rainbow marriage, which is where gay and lesbian people in Algiers will get married to appear to be socially on the mark and accepted by their families
and so on.
They're arranged marriages. So, yes.
Yeah, there is a group. There is a group who are trying to do that.
Yes.
And do it. But again, you have to do it, you know, in a civilized way and sort of quiet way.
But most of the countries I've been to where homosexuality is illegal, again, it's not an issue. It's just that, you know, they don't want you kissing another guy walking down the street. They don't, you know, if it's insulting to their culture, well, it's insulting to their culture. But you should still go there and experience
all
the beautiful things that they have there.
Because you don't know. You know, a couple of guys who could be friends having a good time.
Exactly right.
You know, wonderful, eat well, have fun, get brown, come back nice and fresh. But what you do in your private, that's fine. Yeah. You know, it's exactly the same as elderly couples.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, one of the other components we discussed today was Marseille and the south of France, because there's like an intricate link that is a must consideration, because so many people, of course, travel to Paris and they might go to, you know, one other part of France, but, you know, they may not actually explore the exotic and the exciting parts of southern France that are so influenced by Algeria and those other North African countries.
Look, you know, I'll just say one thing. You know, years ago, Algerian food was like, okay, you find it, you know, it's to take away things. And now, Alain Ducasse, 3 Michelin star, you know, all the chefs I know, you know, Max's, they're all using Algerian ingredients, cinnamon, cardamom, star anise, saffron. All this stuff come from Algeria, Iran, Syria, Lebanon, you know, to create the Michelin star dish. I mean, in France, and it's French. Now, south of France, Marseille, it's second Algeria. It's a second Algiers. I won't say Algeria, but a second Algiers. Now, there is Montpellier, is beautiful. There is Avignon, amazing. You know, there's Nîmes, wonderful for tourists to see museums and, you know. And if you don't have to go to places like Alès where there's nothing in there. But if you do, if you're on a holiday, beautiful stuff, Avignon is a place to be. If you go there, there's a lot of Algerians who've got shops who are selling special ingredients you can't find in the normal French shops. Like Italians in Australia, You know, you can find beautiful couscous, the tribes, the brain, the head of, you know, the lambs, the feet, things which you can't get in normal French butcher, basically.
I'm a veggie. Okay, yeah. And I've had a few. My partner and I are off to the south of France in October.
You?
I know, I keep telling you about all these amazing destinations I'm going to.
I'm so
just haven't
jelly.
Given you the itinerary. Oh, I know you're jelly.
Beautiful.
But we're having a heated argument at the moment because he's been to France several times and you know, this veggie thing has only been going for 12 months for me, but I feel well and healthy. Mm. And he's good. Just, you know, there's been a few heated discussions about, you know, we are not going to, you are eating meat, fish and chicken in France. You will never taste anything like it anywhere else in the world. So
He's right, because that's what you call organic.
Everything, okay.
It's organic.
Right.
You know, it's because the Mediterranean, again, the stuff that comes in here is different.
Yep. Mm.
You open a tomato in there, you slice it, put salt, that's your lunch.
Wow.
Here it's different.
Yeah, Jesus. The tomatoes here have much to be desired.
Have you been to France, Pete?
I have been to France twice, but I've only been to Paris, which I enjoyed.
They all do.
I enjoyed it enormously.
The flag of the...
But I tell you, you know, I love Paris, but I'm not that crazy about Parisian food.
Yeah.
No,
soggy vegetables.
Yes.
It's changed. That's what I remember.
Yeah, that's right. It used to be great before, and now it's all about, you know, these bistros here and there. Things have changed. Europe is all, you know, I met a young Italian on the way here, and I was talking to him. Europe, it's very hard. You know, the old Italian is beautiful. Now, it's the economy is not right. You know, the situation is not, you know. But to be honest with you, you know, the best food you can have is in the Arab world. Because everything, amazing, it's amazing. And it's funny enough, because I don't respect the product, it should be much expensive. If the product can come to Australia,
I wouldn't say no to what you just said.
Have you had argan oil?
No.
See, argan oil, it's an oil where, argan is oil where the goats go to the tree, up in the tree, and eat the nuts.
Ah, okay.
And then they poo it.
Ah, right. Okay.
And then the Moroccan ladies, they come and wash it,
yes.
And then they press it, and then the oil comes out.
Huh?
And it's not walnut oil. It's amazing. When we're babies, the mothers, they wash you, they have a bath time, and then they massage you with argan oil.
Right.
Here, they use it for hair and beauty.
Oh, yes, I have used argan oil on my hair,
that's
yes.
Right. Now we know what the secret is, don't we?
That's right. So now it's 18 million trees in the southwest of Morocco, where they grow there, and that's why it's gone to Morocco, America. You know, all over the world for other reasons. But I cook for it in my restaurant. Yes. I cook, you put a little bit on the fish last minute, it's unbelievable.
Mm. I mean, I've adored every country in that region that I've been to. So, namely, the ones that I've been to have been Iran,
wonderful.
Egypt, Jordan, and the food in all of these places, Turkey, the food is just outstanding. We just don't
have... Because ingredients are amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
You
you're right on
fresh,
the mark.
Amazing ingredients. Even the bread, the flour, the baguette you get in Paris and the baguette you get here is different. The flour is different. Mm.
That is often said, because I have... friends that talk about being gluten intolerant, and they say, but not when I'm in France. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. And I'm like, but it's the flour.
And it's, you know, it's like everything else. But people sometimes, you know, they're open to be educated. And the one you know when you test something right.
Yes.
You know, I went to Jolon not long ago, and I stopped for break, and I stopped in this little cafe, and I had a little sort of black and a madeleine, and that, I swear to you, that madeleine took me back to my childhood. And I thought, I said to the waitress, excuse me, who owns this place? And he was a French chef, of course. Do you know? Déjà vu.
Déjà vu is right.
Joy 94.9.
Well, Pierre, we've been having a lot of laughs today, and we're sort of coming to the end of the show, sadly. We're all booking our tickets to Algiers, and of course...
Marseille, of course.
And then Marseille. I think that, you know, if you feel a bit uncertain about travelling to Algeria, go to Marseille, the south of France, and you can have Algiers light.
That's right. That's right. And you know, as I say, go and enjoy your holiday. Don't believe what you see on the TVs, you know. And you can test as well a beautiful Algerian food in my restaurant in 61 High Street. Norskut, Camus.
And you get a great tan in Algeria, don't you?
That's right. The sun is different, believe it or not.
Okay.
It's not hard as here.
Yes, yes, yes.
And if you spend 2 weeks there, you come back beautiful chocolatey. Here, you become lobster, then it's disaster.
It's yes, that's right. It's happened to me before.
Yeah, it's pink, then everything comes off.
I try to keep...
You need another 3 weeks when you come here to recover.
I'd love to. I'd love to have really dark brown chocolate skin. I think it'd be, you know, kind of romantic, really.
Yep, I think it is always that healthy tan of people that are always on holidays. Yep. What do they call that? The year-round tan.
One thing I advise you, don't drink the water from the tap. You have to drink the bottled water.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes, that is a
very
good
important
tip.
Because I was born in Algeria, of course, and I go there and I always drink water from the bottle because otherwise you will have a little...
Otherwise you might
tummy.
Have a little tummy like what our dear friend Tad has,
yes.
A little tummy bone.
We wish you well, Tad. Hope you get well. We'll look forward
yeah,
to seeing
well.
You
we
on
you well.
Escape Hour next week.
Yes, next week we are going to Singapore.
Oh, we are we?
Yeah,
I love singers.
We're talking about Singaporean barbecues next
yeah,
week. That
yeah,
should
you
be
have
really
been
fun.
A absolutely fantastic
Thank you
guest.
So much for having
Thank
me.
Thank you, Pierre.
Thank you for having me. Wonderful.
You we're must gonna, come on again.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all going to come down and hang out at the restaurant with
Thank
Tad and munch our way through the vegetables.
We would love that, wouldn't we?
We would.
We better go.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.